and we will have come to him some spirit who will be in such condition of memory of his beliefs on earth, that will enable him to meet the spirit on his own ground and discuss with him not only the question of the freedom of the spheres for us who have this love, but also other questions that have to do with the supposed knowledge of this spirit, so that he will realize that the spirits whom he sees flitting from sphere to the Paget messages 1917, sphere are not the frivolous spirit that he believes they are. I will write you sometime the result of this interview, for we will bring it about, not so much to satisfy this curiosity as to who we really are, as to help him gain a knowledge of this divine love that he thinks is only a will-o'-the-wisp. Mary was present and enjoyed the incident very much and wanted to tell the spirit that she knows all about the soulmate love, and that if he, the spirit, should try to find his soulmate and succeed, he would then know what real happiness is. But she saw that it would do no good. "Well, you have written enough for tonight and are tired. We both send our love and want our kisses. Good night and God bless you both with that divine love which is, as the doctor says, the greatest thing in all the world. Your own true and loving, Helen." January 9, 1917. "I am here, your grandmother. Well, my dear son, it has been some time since I wrote you, and I feel that I must say a few words to you, as you are in a condition that needs some encouragement and sympathy. I love you as you know, and while I have not written you lately, yet I have been with you a great deal, watching over you and trying to influence you with my love and powers of bringing to you spiritual thoughts and soul's longings. Now, I want to tell you a few things that may help you in your moments of worry. When on earth, as you know, I was nearly blind and deaf, and in such condition as would naturally cause me to worry and be unhappy, but I did not worry and was not unhappy. And the secret was that I had in my soul the love of the Father, and it was so real to me that no doubt of its existence in my soul ever came to cause me unhappiness. And that love, I know, and assure you, is the same kind of love that now floods my whole being and gives me the happiness that I now possess. I remember that I did not have many material things to trouble me, for you looked after my material welfare and was always kind to me and loving, yet, nevertheless, if it had not been for the love that I speak of, I can readily see that I should have been very unhappy and worried a great deal, for my natural inclination was to worry when things did not go right, as we said. And so I tell you from actual experience, that all your worries, and by this I mean your causes of 496, worry, may be taken from your conscious self if you will only seek for and obtain, which you certainly can do, this love of the Father. It is astonishing how efficacious it is to cause the worries and troubles to disappear. They, as you may know, are very largely a matter of the mind, and while in a certain sense they are real, yet the mind or its condition is the real cause of the realization of the worries. And consider for a moment the fact, and I know that you will agree with me that it is a fact, that the indulging in these worries does not in one particular remove the material causes of the worry, and does not in any manner bring relief from the troubles. No matter how much you may allow your mind to dwell on these things, and how intensely you may worry, the cause, the material cause, remains. You may say, and it is natural to do so, that it is easy enough to advise that you should not let these inconvenient things cause you to worry, but when you come to the practical experience and are the sufferer from these conditions, it is not so easy to throw aside the effect of the troubles on the mind. Well, there is much truth in that. But notwithstanding, this love that I tell you of, when living in the soul, will make even that effort easy to accomplish. The philosophy of the phenomenon, if you may call it such, is that this love is of such real substantial essence that it takes control of the mind and eliminates the consciousness of the reality of the causes of the worry. Now I do not want to be understood as intending to convey the idea that these material causes are not real, for I am not a Christian scientist to that extent, but what I do mean is, that notwithstanding the real existence of these causes, the effects of this love, and the faith that accompanies it, upon the mind, which is the real cause of the worry, is such that forgetfulness of these causes of worry takes the place of the constant indulging in the thoughts of their existence, and the unhappy consequence that must flow from them. The cause itself is not removed, but the consciousness of their existence, for the time being, is dissipated, and to the mind that is thus influenced by the love, these causes are, as if they were not. Of course, they are existing and facing you to some extent, but it will come to you that they are not so overwhelming and insurmountable as they would appear with this love absent from the soul and its influence from the mind. The Paget Messages 1917, and in addition to this, love and faith creates a confidence in the power of the Father and His willingness to help, that engenders courage, which enables the possessor of this confidence to overcome these causes of worry that he would not otherwise be able to do. What I have said may be called the philosophy of the workings of this love and its effective destruction of worry. But the great fact is that the Father does, as a truth, help the one who is in the condition of being possessed with this love. His love is real and his help is real, and the effect is to make the causes named things of unreality so far as the happiness of the object of this help is concerned. And as a truth, shown by the experience of mortals, a very large proportion of the worries and troubles that harass and cause so much unhappiness to mortals is a thing of the imagination and never realized. So my dear son, try to understand what I have written and apply it to your own condition, and you will find that your worries are not near so great as you now think. I know just what is facing you, but as you have been told by others who have written you, in a short time you will be relieved and the sun will again shine in your consciousness of existence, and you will become in a much better condition to do your work, both that of your business and that of the Master. You must not for a moment think that you will not be looked after so that you can do and complete the task that you have been selected to do. This is as certain as that the sun shines, and while for a time yet some disagreeable and disheartening things may confront you, yet it will not be a great while before they will become things of the past, and you will be in condition to do this work without hindrance or interference. So think of all that I have said and try to believe and make a practical application of my philosophy, and above all pray to the Father for a greater inflowing of this love, and have faith to realize that it will become yours, limited only by your longings and sincerity of aspirations. Well, I will come soon and write you a long letter on some spiritual truth that will be of interest to you. I must stop now, and so with all my love and the Father's blessings, I will say, good night. Your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins, let me write a few lines. I am much interested in you and your work, and want to do all that I can to help. I have heard your grandmother's message and it is a beautifully encouraging one, and filled 497, with deep truths, which, if you will grasp and apply, will benefit you very much. I had my troubles when I lived on earth, but never had the sustaining power of the divine love that she speaks of, and, hence, lived my life as best I could with only the help of natural powers and a rather cheerful disposition. Had I possessed this love, I now know that I should have been saved many hours of worriment, and enjoyed many hours of happiness that were not mine. It seems to be the fate or destiny of mortals to experience trouble. As someone has said, man was born for trouble, but this is not just true, for man to a large extent makes his own troubles. And as men come into a knowledge of the great law of compensation, they will realize the truth of what I say. But thank God, even though man makes his own troubles and the law of compensation works impartially, yet the loving Father can relieve him from his troubles and make him happy. And in doing so, I want to say, the demands of this law are not unsatisfied. This law, itself, is subject to another law, and that is, that unless causes exist it cannot demand anything from the mortal, and the Father in helping his children does not say to the law, you shall not demand a penalty from this child whom I desire to help, but says to the child, receive my love and help, and the causes for the demand of this law will cease to exist. If mortals would only understand this truth they would not continue to believe that the Father cannot help his children, and they would also see that in order to confer such help, it is not necessary to set aside or suspend this great law in its operations. The Father never grants a special dispensation to relieve mortals from paying the penalties of this law, but he does give to them his great love, and when they possess that the causes that entail the penalties cease to have an existence. The law of the divine love is the greatest law and supplants every other law in the workings upon the souls and minds of mortals. Well, my friend, I must not write more. And so with my love, will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John Bunyan. I am here, Helen. Well, my dear, you have written a great deal tonight, and must stop as it is late. The spirits who wrote were very glad that they could do so. You had some doubts as to Bunyan and desired to call him back, but he had left. It was actually he who wrote you. The Paget Messages 1917. I must not write more tonight, though I would like to do so. But, dear, read over what your grandmother wrote you and you will find much help. She loves you very much and wants you to be happy. Kisses and say good night, your own true and loving, Helen. January 12, 1917. I am here, Los Trenos. I am the spirit of a man who was murdered in the Inquisition of Spain, because I would not declare that I believed in the false and damnable doctrines of the Romanist Church. I was a student of the Bible, and I learned that the Church was not teaching and enforcing the true doctrines of Jesus, and I would not surrender my beliefs, even to save my life. The unholy and devilish priests and persecutors racked my body and tortured my mind, and at last tore me asunder, but my soul preserved its faith, and came into the spirit world in the fullness of its belief, all unspotted from these false teachings of the Church. There were many who were tortured and killed as I was, because they would not recant. Well, I became a spirit in all the vigor of my manly strength, and greater, but I did not find myself in heaven as I expected, for I did not know what the great love was, but, yet, I was not in such darkness as were some of my persecutors who followed me into spirit life. Of course, I was more or less human, and when these church devils came into spirit life and found themselves in hell, I naturally rejoiced and enjoyed, for a time, their sufferings and condition of hellish torment and used to visit them to charge them with my murder, but after some years, I realized that such satisfaction as I thought I experienced did not give me happiness or help me to progress, and I became sympathetic and tried to help them, which was not easy to do at first. As I continued to help them, I found that my soul was being benefited and that I was gradually getting out of the darkness in which I had been living, and so I continued this work until at last I came into the light and a knowledge of the truth that by helping and trying to love my enemies, I was helping myself. I will not take the time to relate to you my fortune in meeting some spirits who, I know, possessed the great love of the Father, and how they taught me the way to this love, but will only say that now I am one of the redeemed children of God, and the possessor of that love and have my 498, home in the celestial heavens. And to show you how wide and all-embracing is this great love, I must inform you that some of these very priests and minions of the Church, who committed the outrages of which I speak, are now in the celestial heavens also, and, of course, possessors of this great love, all their sins having been eradicated by the merciful workings of this love and their souls. Of course, they suffered the torments of the damned when they first came to spirit life and for a long time afterwards, but the love of the Father and His mercy were sufficient to wash away, even their sins. So from this you will see that there is no sin so heinous and deadly that the Father's love will not destroy, or rather, the effect of it. You must excuse me for intruding as I have, but I saw that you have the gift of receiving communications from this side of the great divide and I wanted to try the experiment. I am a redeemed child of God and can never thank Him enough for His mercy. So with my love, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Los Trenos. I am here, A. G. Riddle. I merely write to explain that the spirit who claimed to be a Spanish martyr is whom he represents himself to be, and is not a mere intruder relating a fictitious story. Well, my dear boy, I will say good night. Your old friend and brother, Albert G. Riddle. January 14, 1917. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, I see that you have been reading a book, The Great Controversy, an Adventist publication written by Ellen G. White, that is full of error and untruth, and that will do you no good to read. The author of that book now knows that the dead are very much alive and that spiritualism is a truth, and that the spirits who communicate are not the devils of Satan, as she calls them. Such reading is not worth the time that you waste in reading, and I do not see why you want to waste your time on such literature. Mrs. White is now in the spirit world and realizes the great harm that her book has done and is now doing to humanity, and the great terrors that so many of her followers believe in and try to follow as their guide in religious beliefs. She will come sometime and write you, for I must tell you that when you borrowed the book and made some, the Paget Messages 1917, mention of its author, I tried to learn her whereabouts and succeeded, for I wanted her to come to you and tell you the utter falsity of what she had written. She has been here tonight and knows that you have been reading her book and realizes that she must do something to correct, if possible, the untruthful teachings that the book contains. So, as I say, she will come to you very soon and write a message in reference to the same. This does not appear to have ever happened. I see that you have been feeling better today, and have been comparatively free from your worries, and I am so glad, for it makes a very great difference in your condition of mind and permits us to come in closer rapport with you as regards spiritual truths. Several spirits were here tonight expecting to write, but when you commenced to read that book they realized that they would not have the opportunity, and left, very much disappointed. My advice is that you do not waste your time in the further reading of the book, as it will do you no good. I love you with all my heart and soul, and want you to be happy, and be free from thoughts that may tend to draw your mind away from us and the work which you have to do. The only information that you will need you will receive and the messages that will be written you, and so you can readily see that there is no occasion for you to read books of the character of the one now before you. I will come soon and write my promised letter, and I know that you will find more happiness in it, than in a whole world full of books that speculate on the future life and the teachings of the truths of spiritual things that never should know and not speculate upon. Well, I will say what I have so often said, that I love you very devotedly, and all the other spirits who come to you love you also, and are with you very often with their influence, trying to help you in the development of your soul and in causing you increased happiness. The Master was here and says that he will soon write his expected message and is only waiting for you to get in good condition to receive it. Your own true and loving, Helen. January 15, 1917. I am here, Samra. I am a Greek of the days of Aristotle, and I merely want to say that I am very desirous of writing you a message on the subject of what is the most important truth that I have discovered since I came to the spirit world. This truth is the oneness of God. When I lived on earth we believed and taught the existence of many gods, and the fact that these gods were the unembodied spirits of those who had been great heroes or philosophers or statesmen while living on earth. Of course, we had some conception of a god who was superior to all others, and that he had the power and wisdom that belonged only to the supreme god, but the lesser gods also had great power and wisdom, and in their particular jurisdiction were at liberty to exercise those powers and thus bring to mankind the blessings, or woes, that they thought men should have visited upon them. Our gods did not have any power over our spiritual conditions, but dealt with us only in a material way and ruled us in our earthly ambitions or efforts only. I died with these beliefs, and when I came to the spirit world I found that hundreds of those we had worshipped on earth as gods were mere spirits like myself, without any special powers and without the wisdom that we had attributed to them, and they were subject to the laws of the spirit world just as I was. Of course, this discovery made me halt in my opinion as to the fact of there being many gods, and caused me in time to conclude that all the beliefs in the many gods were erroneous, and that I should seek for another god who should be above all these lesser gods and spirits. So, in my search I came in contact with spirits who had been in spirit life very much longer than had I, and were far advanced beyond me in the knowledge of things spiritual. And they instructed me that there was a great God, the creator of the universe, and the only God. And in my continued investigations, I concluded that this must be true. I have never seen that God, nor has any of the spirits, that I am aware of, but we have all seen the manifestations of his powers and wisdom, such as no mortal has ever seen or conceived of, and being thus conscious of the existence and manifestation of these powers and wisdom, I know, as do all spirits, that there must be that from which emanates these manifestations, and one who is the possessor of them and the ruler and controller of such manifestations. This entity we all call God, and worship him as such, and we know that he and he alone is the only true God. I do not know that what I have said will be of any interest to you, but it is a fact, and I wanted so much to tell you that fact. I live in what is called the sixth sphere, where are many spirits of men in 499, the Paget Messages 1917, a condition of perfection that brings them supreme happiness, and such greatness of knowledge that only they, themselves, can understand. I hope you will pardon my intrusion, and I will bid you good night, Samra. I am here, John B. London. Let me say a word, and I shall feel better for having done so. I am a spirit who lives in the earth plane and see spirits of all kinds and conditions, and know from observation and experience that in this plane is darkness as well as light, and that many, many spirits are in the dark places paying the penalties which the great law of compensation compels them to pay. These planes are of various degrees of darkness, all suited to the condition of the spirits who occupy them. Some of them are called hells and some purgatories, but they are all really connected, and the only difference between them is the condition of darkness and suffering which the inhabitants there are compelled to undergo. I have been through the hells and am now in purgatory, trying to rid my soul of suffering and get into the light of freedom and peace, and oh, there are so many here in that condition and without much hope. Our progress is slow and we have to pay the minutest demand that this law of compensation calls for. I hope that you will pardon me for having intruded, but I felt that if I could communicate with you I should feel better, and so I do. 16th 1917. I am here, the spirit of one who lived on earth the life of a wicked man, and a persecutor of the Christians, and a blasphemer of God and everything that was pure and holy. And when I had lived the life to its end and shuffled off the mortal coil and became a spirit, I also became a dweller in the lowest hells where all is darkness and torment, and the abode of devils and everything that tends to make the spirit unhappy and at variance with the loving God. I introduce myself in this way in order to demonstrate to you the wonderful power of the divine love, for now I am an inhabitant of the celestial spheres, and know that this love is not only real, but is capable of making the vilest sinner a partaker and owner of the divine essence of the Father. 500. My sufferings were beyond all description and I was the most desecrated of mortals, and was almost worshipped by the devils of hell because of the great injury that I had done to the followers of Jesus, who, in my time, were possessed of this love and faith, which even the terrors of the wild beasts of the arena, or the tortures of my own evil designs could not cause them to renounce this great religion that the Master had taught them, and the disciples were still teaching when I put so many of them to death. The devils loved me for the very evil that I had done, but strange to say, the spirits of those who I had sent unto the spirit world before their time were not revengeful to me, or came to me with their imprecations or cursings. Then when I had been in the spirit world a sufficient time to realize my surroundings and the nature of these evils, these spirits of the martyrs, which I had made, came to me in sympathy and pity, and in fact, tried many times to help me out of my great sufferings and darkness. I did not understand all this unexpected kindness and evidence of love, and I would not for a long time believe that these spirits were sincere, and so I suffered for year after year, and century after century, and became convinced that my condition was fixed, and that for me there was no hope, and that the God that I had heard of was not my God, and that devils were the only companions that I was destined to have through all eternity. And so I endured, wishing to die, but I could not. Oh, I tell you it was horrible and beyond all conception of mortals. The law was working and I was paying the penalty, and there seemed no end to the penalty. I could find no consolation among those who surrounded me, and the pleasures that I first enjoyed, became to me mere things of mockery and derision, and my darkness and torment became the greater. How often I called upon God, if there be a God, to strike me dead, but the only answer to my call was the laughter of the grinning devils, who told me to shout louder as God might be asleep, and maybe deaf. What to do, I knew not. And so I became isolated as best I could from these terrible associates, and many years of my living were spent in the darkness of lonesomeness with never a ray of hope, or the whisper of one word to tell me, that for me there might be a fairer destiny. And so time went by and I waited in my misery for some kind power to come and annihilate me, but I waited in vain. During all this time the recollections, the Paget messages 1917, of my earthly deeds were like hot iron scorching my soul, and burning my body, as I thought, and the end came not. Well, I suffered the tortures of the damned, and it seemed to me that I was paying the penalties for all the sins and evil deeds that had ever been committed by all the wicked kings and rulers and persecutors of earth. Many times the shrieks of the Christian children and the groans of the men and women as they were being torn asunder from limb to limb, or burned as living torches which I had made of them, came to me and increased my torment. I lived the life of centuries of torment in a few moments, as it seemed to me, and not one cooling drop of water was mine. It may seem impossible that I should have continued to live in this ever-increasing suffering, but I did, because I was compelled to. The law did its work and there was no one to say enough. I might write a volume on this suffering of mine, and yet you would not comprehend its meaning, and so I will pass it by. In my loneliness and suffering there came to me on an occasion, a beautiful spirit, full of light and love, and all the beauty of early womanhood, as I thought, and with eyes of pity and longing, and said, "You are not alone, only open your eyes and you will see the star of hope, which is the sign of the Father's love and desire to help you. I am a child of that Father and the possessor of his great enveloping love, and I love you, even though you took from me my young life when you threw me to the wild beasts to satisfy your desire to gratify your thirst for innocent blood, and see the suffering and hear the groans of your victims. Yet, I love you, not because I am a human with a kindly nature and a forgiving disposition, but because I have in me this divine love of the Father which tells me that I am your sister, and that you are a child of the Father, just as I am, and the object of his love just as I was the object of his love. You have suffered, and while you suffered, his great love went out to you in sympathy and desire to help you, but you, yourself, prevented it from coming to you and leading you to light and surcease from sufferings, and asked the heavenly Father to take away from your heart the great wickedness that caused so many of my people to suffer persecution and death. We all prayed for you and never asked our Father to curse you, or do anything to you to make you suffer. And we have prayed for you often since we came to the Spirit 501 world, and we are now praying for you and this because we love you and want you to be happy. Look into my eyes and you will see that love is there, and what I tell you is true. And now, can you not love us a little and open up your soul to our sympathy, and let your feelings of gloom and despondency leave you for a moment, and realize that in this world of spirits there are some who love you? Well, to say that I was surprised, does not express my feelings, and as I looked into the lovelit eyes of that beautiful spirit, I felt the great sins of my earth life overwhelm me, and in my anguish, I cried, "God be merciful to me, the greatest of sinners." And for the first time in all my life in the hells, tears came to my eyes, and my heart seemed to have a sense of living, and there came to me feelings of remorse and regret for all the evils that I had done. It would take too long to tell what followed this breaking up of my soul, all shriveled and dead, and suffice it to say that from that time, I commenced to have hope come to me, and to get out of my awful condition of darkness. It took a long time, but at last, I got into the light, and this love which the beautiful spirit first told me of gradually came into my soul, until, at last, I reached the condition of bliss in which I now am. And during all the time of my progress, this radiant loving spirit came to me very often with her words of love and encouragement, and prayed for me, and never left me when I became, as I did at times, doubtful and discouraged. And as my awakening continued, the love came into my soul, and as she told me of the heavenly things that would be mine as I progressed and reached the soul spheres, where beautiful homes and pure bright spirits are, I became more and more bound by my love to her. After a while I got into the third sphere, and realized that what she had told me was true, only I had not been able to comprehend the greatness of the truth. She then commenced to tell me of the happiness of the beautiful spirits of the two sexes, that I so often saw together, and explained that they were soulmates, and that their love was the greatest of all the loves except the divine love, and that every spirit in all the spheres had its soulmate, and at the proper time will find it. My love for this loving spirit had then become so intense that in the very depths of my soul, I wished and prayed that my soulmate might be such a one as she, and, at last, I became so filled with my love for her, that I told her that the only thing in all there, the Paget Messages 1917, heavens that I needed to make full my happiness was she as my soulmate, but that I realized that that desire was hopeless as I had destroyed her life, and of course she could not be my soulmate. And oh, how I suffered when I realized that she could not be mine, but was another's.